This morning's scripture reading will be from Romans 6, verses 1 through 4. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life.
Since it's Mother's Day, I want to give a shout out to my mother-in-law. She's not here today. Maybe she'll listen online, I don't know, but I'm going to give her a shout out anyways. One of the great gifts that Lindsay's mother has given to our family is that she does scrapbooks for our family. And Lindsay will keep track of photos or mementos or little notes or special things, and she'll keep up with those for a little while, then she'll give them to her mother, and her mother will take those and put them into a scrapbook and give them back to us, and then we have a scrapbook that represents a certain season of our life. We have a whole stack of them, and they're just so wonderful, and I'm so thankful for all of them. And many of you who enjoy scrapbooking or maybe have some scrapbooks of your own, you know what I'm getting ready to explain, that ever so often you might pick out a scrapbook, and maybe you're just picking it out because you want to try to find one specific photo, or you just want to try to look for one specific thing, and you open it up, and all of a sudden you're just lost in that scrapbook. And you just can't help but just turn page after page after page and look at all of the photos and look at all of the mementos that are in there, because you're just drawn in to the memories that the book offers to you. And the reason why that happens, I think, is because of the power of a photograph. That photographs tell a story. That when you take a picture and it's placed in a scrapbook or it's placed somewhere, it might be a photo of you and your family, it might be a photo of your kids, it might be a photo of friends, but when you look at that photo, it's not simply colors on a sticky piece of paper. It's a photo that tells a story. There's a story behind that picture, the story of what the family was doing, or what the kids were doing, what your friends were doing, that caused you to snap that photo. And so when you look at that photo, it brings back that whole story, that whole memory that comes from it. Probably you've had the experience of pulling out a scrapbook or looking through a list of photos, and pretty soon someone in the group, as you're looking at that, says, "Hey, do you remember the time when we did this?" You can't help but starting to tell stories when you look at photos or scrapbooks, because photos tell a story. They tell a story. And we want to talk about that story. We want to rehearse that story, because if we're in the photo, we participated in the story. And we remember it, and we want to talk about it. Oh, don't you remember that time? We had so much fun when we were doing that. We see the photo. It reminds us of the story that we participated in, and so we want to retell it. I think that might be a good image for what we're going to be talking about this morning. Because this morning we're going to talk about the act of baptism. If you're new to Southside this morning, we're studying a series entitled Gospel Moments. That there are certain moments in the church's life where we rehearse or retell or reenact the gospel story, rituals that we do. And this morning we want to think about the ritual of baptism. And I want to say this morning that I believe that baptism is a photograph of the gospel. It's a photograph of the gospel. And when someone traditionally is baptized here at Southside, what we do is we lower the screen, and then when the screen is lowered, we see someone standing there in those white see-through baptismal outfits. And then there's someone there, the baptizer, who's dressed in those fly fishing waders. They take a profession of faith, and then the person is lowered and taken underneath the water and brought back up. And as we are sitting here in the audience, and as we watch that ritual happen, what we're seeing is a photograph of the gospel. It's a photo. It's like opening up a spiritual scrapbook, and there's the photo that we're able to watch. In Romans chapter 6, as Paul talks about baptism, one thing that he mentions here that I want us all to notice is it doesn't talk about baptism simply as a command to be obeyed. It doesn't talk about baptism as simply some rite of initiation that you have to go through. Instead, he talks about baptism as a participation with. Participation with. That there's a preposition that's also sometimes used as a prefix that is used several times within this text in Romans chapter 6. That preposition is soon. Say that with me. Soon. It's kind of like our English word soon, S-O-O-N, but in Greek, the transliteration would be S-U-N, soon. It basically means with. It means to be co-joined with someone. Maybe a good image for that word soon is the image of a symphony, because the word in Greek for symphony is symphony, which has that prefix of soon at the very beginning. Well, a symphony is where you have a musician that is co-joined with another group of musicians to play a certain set of music together in harmony. And Paul is saying in Romans 6, baptism is kind of like a symphony. It's where the person who's being baptized is being co-joined, not with another group of musicians, but the person is being co-joined with Jesus. And in that moment, you and Jesus are playing the music of the gospel. I want you to just look at the text with me in Romans chapter 6 and all the different times that Paul says that in baptism we are participating with Christ. Starting in verse 6, he says, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him." And then verse 8, "Now if we died with Christ," then flipping back to verse 4, he says, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism." And then in verse 5, "If we have been united with him," and then again in verse 8, "we believe that we will also live with him." If you're one of those people who like to highlight or underline in your Bibles, highlight the word with in all the times it's used. In chapter 6, verses 1 through 11, it's used over and over again. And what Paul is trying to explain is that when you participate in baptism, you are joining with Christ, and you are joining him in his death, in his crucifixion and death, in his burial, and in his resurrection, and in his life. Maybe another example of what I'm talking about in Romans 6 is what Paul says in chapter 6, verse 2. I want you to look at this verse with me. Verse 3. He says, "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" Now, I think most of us would feel a little bit more comfortable with this verse if "his" was not there in the verse. If the verse simply read, "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into death?" Yeah, that makes sense. That when we're baptized, we die to ourselves and we let go of the old person, we let go of the old way, we surrender to Christ so we can walk out of the baptistry as a new person. That it's dying to self so that we can become a new person. And that's all true, but that's not what Paul is talking about in Romans 6, verse 3. He says that when you're baptized into Christ Jesus, you are baptized into his death. It isn't just your death that happens. You actually participate in the death of Christ. You are laid in the tomb, but the tomb you're laid in is the tomb of Christ. That's what Paul says. Sometimes we talk about baptism being a watery grave. It's not just your watery grave. It's the watery grave of Jesus. Paul is saying, when you go under the water, there's more than just getting getting wet that's happening. What's happening in that moment is you are joining Christ himself, and you are joining him on the cross, and you're joining him in the tomb in the garden, and you're joining him on Sunday morning when he was raised. You're participating in those redemptive events of the gospel. You're joining Christ, and you're playing this symphony of the gospel. You're doing it. It's a participation with. Scholars have noticed the connection between 1 Corinthians 15 and Romans 6. We say 1 Corinthians 15 at the beginning of our worship service this year. It's our theme verse. And the key part of 1 Corinthians 15 is that Paul says that Christ died according to the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And that he appeared alive. Notice what Paul says again in Romans 6. What happens in baptism? What happens when I am baptized and I go under the water? Here's what happens. You die with Christ. You're buried with Christ. You're raised with Christ. And you're found alive with Christ. That what we recite in 1 Corinthians 15 is exactly what is happening in the act of baptism. We become a participant in the story of the gospel. We join that gospel story. One writer said that baptism is a reenactment for the believer of what happened to the Lord. That we join the Lord and we go through that gospel process of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And it doesn't just happen within our own life, but we actually participate in what Jesus experienced. I can't quite understand. It's kind of a mystery. But Paul is saying that when you experience baptism, you are co-joined with Jesus in all that he experienced in his death, burial, and resurrection. It's amazing. A lot of times when someone is baptized, we celebrate that person. And we should do that. We applaud after the baptism. We come up and give them a hug, we send them cards and notes, and we tell them how thankful we are for their decision. And we should do that. But we have to also remember and keep in mind that when someone's being baptized, the really great thing that's going on is what God is doing. In some amazing way, in some way that I can't fully explain, what's happening in that moment is God is taking that person and it's joining them into these redemptive events of the gospel, co-joining him or her into the death of Christ, the burial of Christ, and the resurrection of Christ. And when they come up, they're a new believer in Jesus. And whenever we watch that, whenever someone is baptized into Christ, and we all get to sit and we get to watch that, as I mentioned, it's kind of like watching a photograph. We see that person and we see them lowered under the water and we're reminded of the death of Christ. We see them submerged, immersed, and we're reminded of the burial of Christ. We see them come up and we're reminded of the resurrection of Christ. It's like looking at a photograph of the gospel. And as we watch that photograph, it reminds us that story of the gospel, we're a participant in it. And it draws us back draws our mind back to the moment when we participated in that story, when we went under the water. When was it that you were baptized? For me, it was June 12, 1989, almost 30 years ago. It wasn't an infant baptism, okay? Oh, no. But I was young. But I still remember that moment in my profession of faith and being lowered underneath the water and being brought back up by my Father. I remember participating in the story of the gospel. And every time I see someone baptized today, it reminds me of that story of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And it reminds me that I'm a part of that story and I share in that. And I've been saved by Christ. One of my favorite baptism stories here at Southside was a few years back. that Dan Leaf was baptizing a lady. And he baptized her. He took her down and immersed her. And when he brought her back up, she couldn't really find her feet really well, or she was struggling to stand back up. And I think she was a little bit emotional. And so Dan just kind of held her. Just kind of hugged her and held her at that moment. Well, when he did that, the guys in the back thought the baptism was done, so they started raising up the screen. And so that meant that the audience never actually saw her actually rise up from her baptism. And so when I came out to greet people, they said, people were telling me, Steve, what happened back there? Did they drown that lady? What did Dan do to her? We never saw her come back up. Dan had to write a whole nother bulletin article the next Sunday to tell the rest of the baptism story. That no, she was not drowned. Everything's okay. It's fun to laugh about baptisms because when we look at a baptism, like I mentioned, it's a photograph of the gospel. It reminds us of who we are. It causes us to remember that we're a participant in that gospel story. And that if I'm a part of the body of Christ, I have been co-joined with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. And it's because of my joining and uniting with him that I am now a saved and redeemed child of God. I sat down this past week with Kelly Lambeth, who's one of our new partners here at Southside in our Hope Ministry. And I asked him to share with me his story, to kind of pull back into his spiritual scrapbook, if you will, and introduce me to the photograph of the gospel, the moment where he went under the water and was baptized. Watch this video as Kelly shares his testimony.
My name is Kelly Lambeth, and I'm 81 years old. I'm born and raised around Dallas and Henderson County. I've been in prison nearly all my life, probably 50 years. But this last time I was there 33 years, and then they finally got tired of looking at me and let me out. I've been a bad man in my life. For at least 75 years, I've been a sinner. But a few years ago, while I was in prison, I got to thinking, well, I'm not ever going to get out of prison. I'm going to die here, and I'm going to burn in hell forever. I see this guy next door over here takes Bible courses. So I spoke to him about it, and he said, yeah, I'll put your name in. He put my name into this lady in Oklahoma. I took her Bible courses for a few years. And we got to writing back and forth, and she would say little subtle things about how would you feel about being baptized and such as that. Kind of started me to think about it, and I made several trips down to the church, and trying to talk to someone about being baptized. Mm-hmm. And they'd say, well, we'd kind of late to do it now. We'll put you in for next time, 6 months now. I said, no, I might not live 6 months. I want to be baptized tomorrow when you want to be all baptized. And he said, oh, we don't have any Church of Christ baptism here. We don't have any. No Church of Christ, preacher, meeting or nothing. I went around asking people I considered more knowledgeable than the person doing the talking to me. And I found out it didn't really have to be a preacher that baptized you. So I went back in the dorm and I asked this guy that I knew that was a Church of Christ member if he had baptized me. And he said, yeah, sure, if they'll let me. And I said, they'll let you all right. So I said, well, we just going to go in there and kind of hog us a spot, do it. We don't even need their permission. We're just going to do it. Mm-hmm. Whenever they're baptizing other people, we're going to fall in right there at the last. get us a tub, baptized me. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, it come to the big night, and they must have baptized about 20 people there, and then they thought they was through. But guess what? I went away and climbed in a tub. My friends started pouring water in the tub. Two or three other people started bringing buckets of water. Pretty soon the tub was full. He baptized me. He held me a little bit too long. He was meanness. And my life is a lot different now. I'm not guilty of anything now. I'm not doing anything that causes me to be feelings of guilt and things like that. I feel like a great burden has been washed from me.
You can be baptized in an ocean or a river, a lake, a church baptistry, or a tub in prison by an inmate. And it still counts. Amen. Someone has noticed that in the Gospels and in Acts, when it talks about baptism, it talks more about baptism as something that we ought to do, an encouragement to go and be baptized. But when you read about baptism in the epistles of Paul, Paul doesn't really talk so much about encouraging people to be baptized. Instead, it's more of a reminder of what has happened during baptism. Because he's writing to churches, to people who have already been baptized before, and so he's reminding them about their baptism. And in Romans chapter 6, he talks about baptism here, not simply because he's just trying to talk about baptism as some theological teaching moment. He's talking about it to remind them of their identity, to remind them that something happened in that moment of baptism. You participated in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus in that moment of baptism. That has given you a new identity. It's given you a new worldview. It's given you a new set of behaviors and values. And what Paul was trying to do is explain to this church that they have a new identity found in grace, and that doesn't mean they can just continue sinning so that grace may abound. No, because they have a new identity, and that sometimes when we get off track from our identity in Christ and we start stumbling and falling, what we need is we need someone to come to us and say to us, just like Paul, you've been baptized. You participated in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Why are you going back to the old way? You've been baptized, and you're a new creation. Don't go back to the old way of living. And there's something that we do every week that is kind of like that reminder, a place where it's almost like it's put right in front of us. Who am I? I'm a child of God, and why would I want to go back to the old way of living? And that place is when we gather around the table for communion. Communion and baptism go together because baptism is the place where we begin our covenant with Christ, and the table is the place where we renew that covenant with Christ as we take of the bread, as we drink of the cup. And as we do it this week, I want you to think about your baptism. Think about the time where you were joined with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. And let this be a time of renewal for you as you try to live faithfully to your identity in Jesus. We're going to sing a song as we prepare for communion.
When we meet in sweet communion, where the feast divine is spread, hearts are brought in closer union, while partaking of the bread, precious feast. Wondrous love for you and me.
As we prepare to take the bread and cup, I want to ask you to just lean over to the person next to you and share 30 seconds worth a memory that you have of your baptism. And for our children in the audience who have not been baptized before, just lean into an adult nearby or a parent nearby and listen to them. But just share briefly with your neighbor one memory you have of your baptism. Do that right now. Almighty God, we are so thankful that to be a part of the body of Christ, to be able to have that photograph in our spiritual scrapbook of the day when we went under the water and were joined into Christ's death, in Christ's burial, in Christ's resurrection. And now we are alive through the life and power of Christ. Lord, we're thankful for this bread. We're thankful for what it represents, that it represents the body of Christ that was broken and given on our behalf so that we might find the grace and salvation that comes through Jesus. Bless us as we take of it and remember what Christ did for us and how we share in that story with him. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. After supper, Jesus took bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, given for you. Take and eat of it." Pray. God, again, our thoughts are turned back towards that moment of baptism where the blood of Christ washed over our souls, and where we were able to rise from the waters full of grace, knowing that our sins are washed away and knowing that we're a part of the new covenant in Christ. And Lord, as we take of this cup, it reminds us of that new covenant in the blood of Christ that we share in, that makes us one body. And Lord, I pray during this moment that you would bring to our minds and hearts moments in the past week where we haven't lived faithfully to that covenant. And may this be a time of repentance and renewal as we remember the blood that was given for us, that we might live more faithfully as your people. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Then Jesus took the cup and he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for each one of you. Take and drink of it." There's a sketch in the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding where the groom, Ian, is baptized. The story is about this lady named Tula, who's a 30-year-old Greek woman who is engaged to be married to this guy named Ian. But the parents don't approve because Ian is not Greek. And so in order to appease the parents, the in-laws, Ian decides to convert to the Greek Orthodox Church, which means that he needs to be baptized. And there's this awkward moment in the movie where he is in his swimsuit and the family's off to the side and they're watching him be baptized by the Orthodox priest. And after the baptism is over, he walks over to Tula, his fiance, and he says to her, "Now I'm Greek." And it's supposed to be this romantic moment where he has done something out of love for her. He's taken this step of being baptized. But I want us to understand that's not what baptism is about. Baptism is not some romantic thing that you do for your fiancé. It's not something you do to appease your parents, to make them approve of you. It's not something that you go through for other people. Baptism is something you do because you want to give your life to Jesus. Because you want to surrender to him and you want to participate with him in the gospel. That's why you make the decision to be baptized. If you read down through Romans 6, one thing you're going to notice is that all of the verbs that talk about baptism are passive. We were baptized. We were buried. We were raised. Why? Why is it passive? It's because baptism is something that you cannot do on your own. It must be done to you. When you're baptized, there's someone else who lowers you into the water. And as you are being lowered into the water, because of the grace of God, it's not because of anything that you're doing. It's because of the grace of God and the power of God that he is washing over you, and you come up out of that water and you have been co-joined and united with Christ, your sins washed away and God's Spirit placed inside of you. That's what baptism is all about. And if you're ready to take that step of baptism, we would love to help you do that today. We're going to have ministers and elders surround this auditorium. And if you're ready to take the step of baptism, just walk up to the front. Let us know that you're ready to do that, and we will help you during this song. Also, if you need prayer or need encouragement, if we can minister to you in any way, the ministers and elders are ready to love on you and to help you, to pray for you. If there's something that's burdening your heart right now, please share that with one of your spiritual leaders. Please respond now as together we stand and sing.